All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Comics, well, Grimm's Spooky Comics Corner with Clive Barker's Hellraiser Masterpieces. I'm feeling a little Hellraiser-y because, you know, Hellraiser comes out tomorrow, and, well, today. It's the 7th. It just hasn't popped up on the internet yet. But when it does, I'll definitely be watching it. So, let's go ahead and get started and enjoy this classic Clive Barker's Hellraiser. Now, this was originally written in 92, so it's not that far from the original film. Look at that. Doug Bradley as Pinhead, Volume 1. Boom, of course. Oh, Neil Gaiman wrote one. Clive Barker wrote one. Ooh, that's cool. Welcome to the first volume of Hellraiser Masterpieces. When the team here at Boom Studios started working with Clive Barker on new stories to expand the grand mythos of his celebrated creation, we knew we were joining a long tradition of horror comics told with an artistry and intelligence rarely found elsewhere. With this book and others to come, we offer you the best of those stories that have come before. The Hellraiser Masterpieces volumes collect stories from the classic Hellraiser anthology stories originally released by Epic Comics from 89 to 93. These stories were chosen because they all featured talented creators exemplifying the horror and high strangeness that is found only in the world of Hellraiser. Among the stories found in this volume are Raising Hell Part 1, Stolen Time, the first of a three-part story by writer Larry Wachowski, co-writer and co-director of The Matrix, with artist Mark Pacella. Further volumes will continue this three-part story. The Harrowing Part 1 Resurrection is the first of a two-part story devised by Clive Barker himself, written by Anna Miller, Malcolm Smith, and Fred Vicarel, and features gorgeous early artwork by comics legend Alex Ross. The second part of the story will also be found in future volumes. Enjoy those stories and more, featuring renowned creators such as Neil Gaiman, Dave McKean, Dwayne McDuffie, Kevin O'Neill, Mark Chiarello, George Zaffino, Mike Mignola, and more. Wow, looks like we're in for a treat. That looks like McKean's artwork. Raising Hell Part 1, Stolen Time. Story by Larry Wachowski. Art by Mark Pacella. Wow, the Wachowski brothers. I didn't even know they did this. It never rests, set to its task, turning like a millstone, wet with blood, grease with fat, crushing flesh, grinding bone and gristle, until something happens that has never happened. Its lights fade, then die. For one excruciating instant, all of hell hangs frozen, still and silent, as Leviathan suddenly stops. It begins to writhe, twisting and contorting, and then it screams. The sound is piercing, ice hot, stabbing through eardrums as those created by Leviathan feel its pain. The scream lasts only for a moment, but for one man it is long enough. Puzzle in hand, he flees for some dark corner, praying he'll have time. Think, Isidore. Think, old man. It's simple, just a toy, a game. He'll be here soon. Relax. Just think. Hurry, think, damn it. Yes, that's it. Ching, ching, tick, tick. The pain happens so quickly. Gouging barbs, puncturing, popping through his skin. Tick, tick, ching. Slicing razor wire, wrapping tight, drawing thin red lines around his wrists. All is familiar to him as breathing. Tears stream down his face as fingers grown numb as deadwood desperately press and squeeze against the final piece of the puzzle. Somehow it turns. Ah! The Reagan Sanitarium and Psychiatric Asylum. Raising Hell Part 1. Stolen Time. Kush! A man appears out of nowhere, covered in blood, clutching a small box, and claims to be someone who died 60 years ago. There was just enough media coverage to attract those who would understand. Certainly, Doctor, these things happen. That'll be fine. Goodbye. That was Dr. Pliers. He can't make it until the end of the week. Listen to me, Nurse Bratchett. I can't wait. You listen, Mr. Lee. The patient, his name is Klosky. Isidore Klosky. That's ridiculous. If he were Isidore Klosky, he'd be over 160 years old. I repeat, he has not been identified, and regardless, he cannot be released until he has been properly examined. But if it were up to me, anyone who would pull a stunt like he did should be kept here for good. Now I suggest you all leave before I call security. Nurse Pratchett, do you like puzzles? No, not in the least. That's too bad. Outside, a figure, sheet white in the headlights, waits for them to stop. Evening, sister. Anything we can... I know why you're here. I came too. I've not slept. I thought I was free. Please, you must tell me, do you really think he can help us? If he can't, no one can. Dear Lord, all right, park your car on the other side of the cemetery. I can get us in the back through the chapel, but ward security. Security will not be a problem. Oh, of course, a 45 with silencer standard issue with the collar these days. None of us is who we once were. Do you even believe in God? Ka-chink! I believe in hell. He listens to it, the scream still ringing, buzzing like a wasp trapped inside his ear. It makes him smile, but then the doubt returns, worming through his mind. Did I turn that piece? Did I? Did I escape? Do nothing, Isidore, except die. Suddenly a chill, a finger of ice slides along his spine. Outside his door, he feels the ice, a stare of its godlike, gloved hands, touching him, moving over him. He cannot breathe. Scratch! The hook and cable sear through the meat on his calf, embedding in the floor. Ah! Help! Help! Someone! Please help! Boom! Boom! Bound tight by the jacket straps, he wrestles, twists, and fights to his knees as his mind seizes an image from his past, an old book glimpsed in hell, painted bright with a sigil on a bloodied page. He bites down, chewing through tongue until his teeth click together and his mouth fills with blood, salty and warm. And he begins to paint. A symbol, a talisman, a temporary reprieve. Mac, wait! What, Chris? What? Christ, Marcia! I only got a minute. I should be on duty. I know, but I just got this weird feeling that I should check on the new patient. Come on, Marsh. Look, I even got the ribbed ones. Mac, I'm serious. Fine, let's go. Oh my God! Mac, call the police. Don't even blink. The old man feels the cold air and the heat of his open calf. He looks up at the priest who is supporting him, his tongue throbbing, thick and swollen. He whispers, "It's still out there. It's waiting." The priest, staring out into the black night, nods, "I know." "It can only take one of us at a time. One of us is going back." The priest nods, "I know." Like ghosts flashing in and out of sight, they weave between crosses of granite and tablets of marble. Here they all think of death, of dropping to their knees and clawing open their wrists or stuffing a gun barrel into their mouths. Why hadn't they done it already? Why weren't they buried deep, rotting beneath some carved stone? They were living on stolen time. It couldn't last forever. Ah, no! Ching! Wait! Please, help me! Garcia! Man, please! I'm begging you! Kill me! Kill me, please! Please! Do it! Damn you! Bastards! They'll get you! Get you too! They flee more quickly now, faces of stone and sorrow masking their relief as the hunter takes hold of the man. Trying not to hear the sharp crack and snap as flailing limbs are made still, they do not think that it could be them, only that the hunter with prey would return to hell. And they were still alive. 30 miles north, a spare key is still hidden after 55 years beneath the second flagstone. Here it is, the one on your cell wall. The spell, it's in Sanskrit, isn't it? Maybe we can... What is it that you want from me? What do we want? In 1870, you were one of the world's renowned occultists. In 1891, you disappeared. Then, in 1933, you appear out of nowhere and write a masterpiece called Of Hell, The Structure and Order of Evil. Some kids in the 60s built a cult around that book. I was searching for what happened to you when I found the puzzle that would show me. When I escaped, I was paralyzed by my own guilt and the fear that God had forsaken me. But I found your book and began to understand, to separate it from my faith. What we want, what we need, is your help. I cannot help you. Something is happening in hell. Leviathan is preparing for something. You can't understand. I try and try, but I simply can't remember. What are you talking about? The configuration that I used to escape, I cannot remember actually solving it. If you didn't, how could you be here? You said that I first escaped in 1933. In truth, Leviathan allowed me to escape. It knew, you see, that I would write such a book. It wanted exposure, but in an ordered way. Then it arranged my return. For 50 years I've had to listen to the screams of those I damned. How can I be sure that I've escaped this time, that I am not some piece of a new design? You said Leviathan stopped and screamed as though it were in pain. In your book, you wrote that the puzzles were actually parts of Leviathan. The day that you escaped, I destroyed one of the puzzles. You think? I checked with the hospital. You appeared at 5:37, about 2 minutes after I split the puzzle and it burst into flames. My God, child, if it's true, then I owe you more than excuses. We've no time to waste. Garcia, open that tin cabinet. There should be a saw inside. The hunter's armor is made of Leviathan, and only those things that are also of Leviathan will penetrate it. Father Garcia, listen to me. This must be done. My leg is ruined. I want you to cut it off. Do it, Father. Do it quickly. He feels the jagged blade against his shin. In hell, pain is life. Why does this feel so different? So real? Ah! The saw is shoved forward and jerked back. Forward and back. When it is done, he tells the priest to clean the bone. Leviathan. Its evil is physical, like the cold. It goes deep. Changes us. Stains us. We become part of it. Mandre. There is a grinder. Sharpen a point. It makes a terrible sound. Violence and pain spitting from the wheel like sparks. It is a sound they all know. Crash! Dear Lord, they found us! Help me into the chair. I'll take a look. There is another exit. An old coal door. Oh no! The smell of meat, fresh and warm, lures it down the stairs to the old wash basin. Mouth and nose stuffed and smeared with snack. It does not smell the man moving silently, skillfully towards it. Run! Ah! Hallowed be thy name. Please, sister, you're really making me nervous. Hurry, Lee. Won't open. Ugh, they're stuck. Thy will be done. Oh, move over. Let me... Crack! Ah! Help! Garcia, he mustn't take Lee. No one is going anywhere. Ah! How does it feel? Look out! Its other fist smashes through wood, groping wildly for the agony lodged in its arm. No, damn it! Yeah! The old man hears it scream and it makes him smile. It has begun. They rush through the dark passage through steaming puddles of dissolving flesh that fill the room with the smell of pork and sulfur. We'll have to carry Izzy. No, there's no time. Garcia, give me your gun. I'm done. I have given you what you wanted, a means to fight, to survive. Now I ask for what I want. An explosion of splintering wood shatters their silence. Go, leave me, you must escape. Goodbye, Father. I pray you find peace, Isidore Klowski. Goodbye, and thank you. They must escape, he tells himself, and the gun drops into his lap. What is death, anyway? He had drowned on his own blood, suffocated beneath a shovel full of his own flesh. He'd stared, rigid with pain, at the peeled layers of his skin heaped in crumpled piles on the floor. And every time he died, there was nothing. No release of mystic energy, no soul climbing for the clouds. He understood. Were we just meat, bone, and hair? And death? Death was just the end. Now there was something to live for. But for them to fight, they would need time to prepare. He had to make sure they would get away, one way or another. Fist! He feels the hooks inside him snagging, tugging at rib and vertebrae as the chair begins to roll. That's it. Little closer. Yes, you see I have a gun, but you are not afraid. Do you not see my leg? That I will give anything to see you. Click! Die! Die! Bullets covered with bits of bone penetrate the armor. The hunter staggers, but it again returns to task. It doesn't matter. Click! Struck! Garcia, how? 4 gunshots. Nobody misses their head 4 times. Had to be sure you'd get away. We've got to get you to a hospital. Don't be foolish. Nothing can be wasted in war. Everything must be sacrificed. Every piece, every part. Don't you see? We are only flesh and blood, but they are our strengths. No, our weapons. You must use them. Use me against it. Against Leviathan. I die, Father, but please do as I ask and bury me. Not in Earth, in Leviathan. Stick me like a knife in its gut, forever a part of its pain. Listen, Garcia, can you hear it? So loud it screams, so beautiful. Wordsworth by Neil Gaiman and Dave McKean. Oh yeah, that's definitely McKean. Words are but pictures, true or false design, that draw the lines and features of the mind. Butler, upon the abuse of human learning. Examine, please, the writhing tapestries of choice, violence implicit in every scratching and syllable. Smell the beast's blood trickling into each wound, spelling out new ways to violate sweet innocence. Hooks rend, new blasphemies configurate upon the inside of my eyelids. Tales worked in blood and bone and flesh and semen. Traced in spittle, a dash of bile, here a slice of kidney there. Gather round, damn children, and together we shall lament and celebrate the configuration that made us what we are, today and forever. So, do you writhe and shiver in the pangs of daring agonies undreamable, wriggling and gasping and giggling, anticipating the tumescent thrill of another's damnation? Good, then I'll begin. His name is Wordsworth. The final clue, 12 down. 12, you imply no blazing fronds grow in the abyss? Inferno. He writes it down and sighs dustily. Then, crossword completed, 6 minutes 12 seconds. Daily Telegraph abandoned. Wordsworth stares out of the carriage window at a parade of allotments at the ugly backs of houses. Unsatisfying. The train shudders into the city center and a fly makes languorous love to the grimy window. Half an hour to go before he arrives at the library. Half an hour to kill. You finished puzzle? Sorry. Oh, the crossword, I see. Yes, yes, I'm afraid so. Words. Yes. You need good puzzle. Here. Oh, I see. Right. Well, thank you. Wordsworth gazes at the paper in dismay. No true crossword here. He scans the first clue, expects nothing of substance. Wordsworth ponders. An anagram, perhaps. He combines permutations of you and you with both rabbit and hare, and as an afterthought, Lepin. Lepin? It isn't coming. What you did to the rabbit, 7. But deep inside his dry soul, something flutters. He knows the answer. He just doesn't know what it is. And then, Wordsworth was 7. His rabbit was called Flopsy. He knew. Drowned. Wordsworth worked in the museum library in the stacks of books, organizing and classifying. There were over 200,000 books and manuscripts in the museum. They were friends, albeit friends composed of words and stories. True friends, unlike his workmates. Creatures so incomprehensible to him as to be almost alien. Miss Watson, Miss Prideaux, Miss Kelly. The second clue was this, Miss Watson's cry of bookborne pain, 574. Jesus sodding wept. Ow! I beg your pardon, Miss Watson. I'm afraid my elbow knocked the Albigensen? The Albigensen crusade off the mezzanine ledge. Are you all right? Of course I'm not all right, you stupid old titmouse. I think my shoulder's broken. Jesus sodding wept. Wordsworth doesn't know where the puzzle comes from, nor does he care. The puzzle is all. The words are everything. The gift of the scavenger's daughter? 5. He finds out and fills the answer on the puzzle in his precise, neat handwriting. Blood. Answers. Wordsworth discovers there is a specialized vocabulary in the more uncompromising realms of bondage and flagellation. From that province he takes away a scarred back and expertly pierced genitalia, and more importantly, he fills another 9 squares on the puzzle. Wordsworth attends a meal at which noble and affluent coprophiliacs dine for 12 courses on 40 kinds of human shit. And for those that don't know what a coprophiliac is, that is literally someone who eats shit. He's there for the last word on the menu. It turns out to be coffee. Someone has a sense of humor. The delights of reluctant perversion chill him, although each new experience has a specific end in view. Words. For a word, he cuts a dog apart and casts its entrails upon his kitchen floor, seeking sense in the loops and whirls of its intestines. For a word, he violates a small child. He could guess, but he had to know. All his life he had loved words, and now he found his life to be a demanding, meticulous mistress. His job was abandoned, following the fire to destroy the museum and almost claimed his life. He no longer ate. His actions were solely defined by the puzzle. And in the end, there were only 4 spaces to fill in. 1 word. 1 clue. And the thing that had once been Harrison Wordsworth grinned through messy, separating lips and wrote, "Hell." And it says stop. Oh, the sweetling pulsing joy, the coming through the pain. Wordsworth feels the probe slide down the throat, pierce the erect anus, puncture the skull. The plasma ceases to pump through the arteries. The liver no longer secretes bile. The urine dries to salt in the bladder, but the blood washes over us all. And the night of hell that glows with its own black light, I remember the burning spasms and freezing pains that beset me when our Lord took me and terribly refashioned me according to his will. Will it ever? Can it ever be that good again? Ripped to shreds and patched together, I knew them consummately what I was. Excuse me, I knew then consummately what it was, what I am, what I will always be. See me. Love me. Look at my words. Examine the writing tapestries of each choice, delight implicit in each scratching in each syllable. I guard the words. I keep them tenderly, express them with my tangled flesh and tattered tongue. Words that form stories or tales or patterns. Words that can but hint at the delights of damnation, or the ultimate pleasures that wait for them all on the beyond side of pain. Stay with me, my shattered children. Stay and listen and stare and learn. Was that tale good? I'll show you another. It says, love me. I've got thousands of them. I hold the stories. I guard the words. Love me. Writer's Lament. Dwayne McDuffie, Kevin O'Neill, Jim Novak. Okay, a little different style, they all have been. Max Wayne wasted most of his adult life toiling as a freelance writer. Max considered himself the consummate professional and described himself as a craftsman. I enjoy the challenge of creating something to fit a client's specifications, he would often say. But until now, his only accomplishment of any lasting value came the day he laboriously solved one particularly difficult and oddly seductive story problem. The problem once solved revealed itself as a lament configuration, as a doorway, if you will, to hell. Max Wayne has wasted most of his afterlife toiling as a freelance writer to create order from chaos as his current and eternal assignment. Max Wayne used to live in Burbank, California. Now he lives in hell. He'd be hard-pressed to tell the difference. Following a long and unbroken string of workmanlike scripts, Max has unexpectedly delivered something that transcends his medium. Certainly this one goes beyond mere craft. This one is art. It lives and breathes. Max Wayne is the father to a miracle. Gurgle. This is perfect. There's only one thing to do with it. I've got to get it over to my editor. Other people have babies too? Max, I'm ready to see you now. Max, this little boy's a wonderful piece of work. Perfect. I'm telling you, this baby's got hit stamped all over it. Personally, if it were up to me, I wouldn't change a thing. But I do have responsibility to Leviathan and to the sponsors and pressure groups. Oh, and to the audience, of course. And frankly, some of this material is potentially offensive. So, scotch. We're going to have to make a few changes. Hey, don't! Let's try and be professional here. That's just a cosmetic change, after all. The kid can still see. All right, okay, sorry. Of course, this'll have to go, too. Crutch! There, that wasn't so bad, was it? I don't know, but lateral symmetry was one of my themes. And there's just one more little problem. Now you and I are men of the world, so we don't find this sort of thing distasteful. But you have to understand, if someone took this part out of context, we could be left open to criticism. Well, I'm finished. What do you think? It was good before, and you messed it all up. I think you're overreacting, but if I try to be sensitive to the artist's feelings, let me reassemble the thing and see if we can't make some compromises together. Pop! Cut! Here's one change that solves all my problems with it. Thanks for bringing this to us, Max. You've done a wonderful job. You asshole! You killed my baby! And we hope you can do some more work for us sometime. Could I? That would be great. I've got a couple of new ideas I can develop. Max Wayne considers himself a consummate professional, as such he's learned from his experience. From now on, he won't put any heart into these babies in the first place. And after he's done a few that way, he'll be hard-pressed to tell the difference. The Vault. Story by Mark McLaurin, art by George Zaffino. Okay, there's a lot of people. Letters by Paul Felix and colors by Julie Mitchell. A country in South America. A country in flux, about to burn red with the flames of the revolution. And a nightmare. In the nightmare of a fight for freedom, only one place is able to maintain order. Prison. A blight on the landscape, this particular prison has become a rigidly screaming symbol of despair. Its official name is Years Lost, in favor of one more descriptive of its soul. La Enfermedad. In contrast to the surrounding fires of revolution, the darkness of La Enfermedad is perfection. And Armando Garcia has always sought perfection. At first he sought change through chaos, banking the flames of revolution, chasing back the darkness. But then in the darkness he saw the light. He sold his life and his cause for a little black box which promised him power and the freedom of the ultimate revolution. Freedom! Freedom! Because in the darkness he saw the light. Yeah! The Vault. I trust our guest is on his way to the courtyard. The show is about to begin. Tardiness is unacceptable, Captain Corazon. We've been appointed to structure this revolutionary. A singular honor for us. After all, the trouble the government went through to capture him, he is to become a symbol for them and myself. Diaz is known for his fire. This matinee will be the first step in squelching it. A singular honor for us, and a pleasure. Ready. Aim. Diaz is a fool, I'll bet a stubborn one. But he will be broken. I will preserve order. Crack! Of one form or another. Sir, I think we are to get Diaz to reveal the names and locations of other revolutionary leaders. I certainly don't keep you on the think, Captain. The revolutionaries are fools. Restructuring must happen at all levels at once, from the top down, from the bottom up, and from the middle out. These fools provoke only the bottom level to rebel, and so it is this level which will be squelched. Change will not occur. They must learn there is no escape from what is. Escape? Sir, what about the escape of the man in 27? I had the cell gone over from top to bottom. Nothing. Nothing but that box. It's as if he was just swallowed up. Garcia was in 27, wasn't he? The rebel fool gave us Diaz and gave himself up. The madman almost seemed to wish to be taken to La Enfermedad, like he had some kind of purpose here. I've a feeling I'm being played for a fool. If Garcia did escape, this box was his key. In one form or another, I will have its answer. In one form or another. I don't know what game he and his friend Garcia are playing, but I will break that man. Have the cell gone over once more and put Diaz in 27. Keep him under constant watch. I will have my answer. Arturo Velez has always been a precise man. He used his... It should be Arturo... Arturo Velez... he used his penchant for order to maneuver himself into a position of power, from the bottom up. He read political pattern well. He used that talent to make important contacts in every level of the government. The high point of his career was being named Jefe at La Enfermedad, and to his specifications, every level of the prison was remade, from the middle out. Here he ruled, with the power of life and death over those who brought here. He was God. Until now, an unexplained escape was no minor thing. It would bring his record into question. His perfect world could fall apart, from the top down. Unless he could think of some way to solve a puzzle, he couldn't begin to understand. There had to be a way. Yes, yes. Morning. Alfredo Mendez, have you heard? The news is out. The revolution is over. Your leaders are in custody. Others are soon to follow. You yourself are shortly due to be executed, unless you'd care to save your own skin. Garcia sought to use this stupid toy to escape. We stopped him, of course, but we'd like you to show us how he planned to use it. No! You know its solution. You have 1 week to show me. Its solution is your future. And you have every waking moment of the rest of your life to show me. No, I don't know. Yes. No! Crack, crack, kapow, crack! I'm sure he knew. Mendez took me for a fool. But I am a man of my word. and he is dead. No one makes that mistake twice, but on to other business. Is Diaz any closer to breaking? No, sir. Diaz is strong and human, but he'll break. He has to. Fine. Meanwhile, bring me another volunteer today. Sir, you're aware that the magistrate and Amnesty International have already begun nosing around the prison. The mounting death rate is calling attention to us. Perhaps our priorities would best be served if we wait before... I don't want to hear about priorities or any more excuses. You'd do well to remember who is in control here, Captain. I answer to no one so long as peace is maintained and order restored. This mystery is a blot on my record. That is the top priority until that is resolved. To hell with all else. But Diaz is supposed to be top priority. More deaths only draw attention and make Diaz the martyr he wants to be. Our orders. Restructuring must happen on all levels. No one is exempt. No one. Wham! Days later. You disappoint me, Captain. You're not providing me the right people. Your incompetence is bringing heat down on my head. I've no choice but to bring the heat to you. And you haven't felt heat until you felt it from me. Almost. Almost! That damn box must be some sort of communication device or map or a key of some kind. I need that answer, but it must happen soon. We need someone of intelligence to reveal its secret. We need Diaz. Diaz will solve the puzzle or die like the others. No, I don't give a damn about what El Presidente wants. I don't give a damn about the revolution. Almost, please, I've nearly got it. When I have my answer, they will see. And they must understand. I must be free of this. No, I want to live. No, I want to be free. I want to live. Bring the box to me. That is our proposition, Señor Diaz. Your life for a simple solution. You make me look bad. I'm sure I can't do any worse to you than God already has. You find something amusing, Sergeant? No, sir. That box is a thing of evil. I've heard of its like before. I will not touch it. I was prepared to die for this cause the moment the revolution began. I may become a martyr. My cause will survive. While you will go to hell. You don't know what hell is, Señor, but I would love to show you. I would love to send you there. Ah! I still hold your life in my hands, Diaz, but you'll not be a martyr yet. First, you'll be made to see the light. All you lack is structure, and I can, we'll see to restructuring you on all levels, from the top down, from the bottom up, and from the middle out. Get him out of here. He will be made to see things the correct way, then be allowed to complete his martyrdom. Days later. Your obstinacy is remarkable, Diaz, but tiresome. Though all we've done to you, you refuse to touch the box, to make the answer clear to me. You already know the answer. They are sending someone from the capital to relieve me of command. I am finished here. That should please you. This will not. Before I leave, you will solve the box or die. Your choice. Pick it up. I will have my answer now. I had a comrade who sought such a box. He sold his soul and the revolution for a box like that. He spoke of using it to summon a great army to aid the revolution, to remake the world. The search changed Garcia, but the box changed him even more until he was just a dark shadow of himself. The thing is evil. It corrupts. I will not be tainted by it. Take it. No. Then I'll get it for you. Whack! Crack! Whack! Slup! Whack! Slup! Diablo! Tis, Señor Velez. It is so disappointing for one so high to have fallen so far. You have been a model of order. You will be your will restructured La Infirmidad into an ideal location for solving the puzzles of my Lord Leviathan, a strictly modeled version of hell created on Earth by one man. Such a great achievement. Such a great disappointment. Luckily, you're to be allowed another chance, an opportunity to regain grace. After all you lack is structure. Of course, restructuring would take a bit of time, but it would be complete and forever, on all levels at once. From the top down, from the bottom up, and from the middle. No! And in the darkness, Arturo Velez saw the light. Not my favorite story. This I saw. Story by Malcolm Smith, Mike McMahon, and Michael Heisler. 400 BC, the land of Chi Kai Kai. Listen well, I am dying and will not tell this story again. I can still remember it as though it were only a harvest ago. The sun beating down, the aching in my arms and legs, the journey so slow, but with each step understanding more, and the knowledge bringing me closer to manhood. I learned many things, that the fierce destroy the gentle, that the strong destroy the meek, and that even the strong can be taken. Still my reflection is not yet a man's. Spring water for the ritual. After the change of man will return my gaze. I am called Little Moon. Four suns have passed on my journey of change. With only Tico at my side, I press on. Over the grassy hills, the direction from which no tribesman has ever returned. But it was my choice, my inner spirit's choice, and would not be questioned. My choosing ritual had been witnessed by the entire tribe. The shaman's spin was long and hard. His gaze remote as I stumbled, but did not fall. I threw the spear, and before it landed, the silence told me the way I was to go. Pitiful boy, he takes only a sparrow, the runt of birds for the runt of the tribe. Neither of them will survive. Only the shaman had faith in me. Here is the medicine of change. Travel the straight line and trust the ritual. The sun compass will show you the way. To stray more than the length of two spears will bring failure. Surprise us all, little moon. How? Return. I stay rigid to my path, but the temptations to stray are many. Though the straight path seems treacherous, it is not. The dangers lay on either side. After five suns passing, I reach a ridge of stone. Up I climb, but its face is too steep, and the earth's pull too strong. My journey as a boy is over. The shaman teaches that a bird is twice born, first from the mother, then from the egg. Perhaps that is why they are chosen to share in the ritual of change. I feel so alone with my bird, empty inside. I wonder if even the shaman's medicine can fill me. Yet, though there is little, I share it with Tico as the ritual prescribes. It makes my insides burn, makes me feel trapped inside my human skin. The moon is freedom, it tempts us both from our cages. I feel myself falling, my fear makes me heavy, but I face death, and I choose freedom. I soar the impassable mountain becomes a a stepping stone to a valley filled with many fires. In the shadow of death, nothing could have prepared me for what I now look upon. Terror grips my heart and wonder fills my soul, a perfect form of spinning points and floating above, a woman held prisoner by its dark magic, and watching a tribe of the most afflicted warriors I've ever seen. Lower her into the vortex between hell and earth, where even a goddess holds no power. Morte mame. I think that's what it is. You should feel honored. Leviathan sacrifices our only direct passage to earth, so that it might become your resting place. Harrowers, your goddess is imprisoned and powerless. Leviathan gives you a choice. Join our ranks of order and discipline, or be buried alive in a tomb above your mistress. Alive because you cannot kill us. We go with our goddess. She will determine our fate, and yours as well. Not likely, but because my master so enjoys experiments in confinement and control, he offers you a chance at redemption. You will be sealed inside this puzzle chamber. Discover its solution, and you release not only yourselves, but Morte Mame as well. You will need light for your studies. You may take this lamp. I warn you, however, its fuel is limited, and to rekindle the flame, you must feed it flesh. You dare submit us to the tortures of your world? Not at all. I merely give you the option of submitting yourself should the need arise. The six captured ones are led into a cave, down, deep into the ground, then are sealed in the stone room that has been lowered from above. I follow through, though I don't know how. Driven to see more, just enough space to get inside. The warriors study the slab, its center turning magically. Sex liberabit. Six shall release. See enigma explica erit. If the puzzle is solved, all in the cursed tongue of the Dark One. We should not waste our time on his puzzle when a mere boulder blocks our escape. I can feel more Mame beneath us. Morte Mame beneath us. We'll use her power to break free. She cannot help us within these walls. The puzzle is our only hope. Who will assist me in clearing the entrance? You're wasting precious time. We must work together to find a solution. Time passes. I have no strength. The great rock cannot be moved. The horrid lamp grows dim. Without light, we are lost. I was wrong. Now we squandered the light. I offer my flesh to repay the debt. No, the flame must be rekindled, but we will all risk the sacrifice. The largest man cuts his belt into 6 strips, then draws the shortest. It's a small price to pay to save our goddess. For freedom! A garish amber light fills the room once more. Use the flame to seal your wound. Yeah! I fear that we will all soon know his pain. Too soon. I know the answer. If we translate the Latin to Sanskrit, then the rhyme scheme will show us the way. Many torturous hours pass, as one by one all give of their flesh, confident that their salvation is near. We have it. I've marked the exact alignment for the solution. Prepare to speak the Latin verse aloud. Credo fetum nas coesi. What? Volo comparere? No, I cannot read Latin. Something is happening. The chamber is glowing with a new light. Handprints burning on the walls. Oh, goddess, we've been tricked. The puzzle is in 2 parts. How I weep for them. Their bloody stumps will not unlock what insists on hands and feet as keys. And so it ends. The flesh-fed lamp grows dim. One by one, the ragged breasts falter and cease. Only I welcome the darkness, for it shows me a sliver of light. The light becomes a beacon to freedom. Pain drives me from my soaring body. My spirit hangs in nothingness as I watch Tycho die. Now I understand. I wake as if from a dream, the medicine of change sweated from my body. I know what I must do. I am to return to my tribe and tell them this I saw. That was many years ago, and all who listened to my tale knew in their hearts, as you know now, that it had not been imagined, but was real. Yet my tribe needed proof of its truth. So I led the shaman and a group of warriors back to the ridge of stone. This time it was surmounted without wings. It was all as I had seen. The place was so forbidding, even the shaman would not approach. I held the crushed body of twice-born Tycho. Brave Tycho, he died that I might have a second birth. On that spot we carved an enormous sparrow's egg of rock, set on a massive slab of stone, and left them to mark the grave of the strange warriors, and of the little bird. As your shaman, I charge you, when I am dead, keep this story alive. One day another 6 shall come to wage war on the god of many points. For even the strong can be taken, and even mortals may play a part in the battle against the Dark One. The Harrowing, Part 1, Resurrection. Clive Barker, written by Anna Miller, Malcolm Smith, and Fred Vicarell. Art by Alex Ross. Letters by Gaspar. The captive goddess, the lady in waiting. Hundreds of years have come and gone, but her strength of will has not diminished. She can wait forever if she must. Every dark dawn brings her to her a new hope. Yes! The hope for today? Yes! Maggots! Yes! Molting! Gorge yourselves, my gentle pets. Shed your skin and sprout your crimson wings. And fly! Room, crack! An earthquake shakes the carnivores from their feast. They go forth, dripping with the power of her flesh. Take my light, my life, and put an end to the waiting. Now 6 for 6. Miles above, God Almighty, is my bed shaken? Or have I lost my mind completely? Crack! Rum! Nobody in the town of Joplin, Missouri, has much use for Bunny Benedict. No one comes to visit. The family business has shut down. Guess no earthquake's gonna stop the sun from rising. She has no reason to get out of bed in the morning. Until now. Tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow is Mother's Day. Long as I'm up with the sun, might as well get some work done around here. Maybe fix the place up a bit. I might be having some company over. It's called Legs Benedict's Egg Museum. Joplin, 10 miles. Later. Surprised these old boards haven't rotted off by now. Good Lord, how could all you nice pretty things get to looking so bad when nobody's been near you for years? Tell you what, if I had a lick of sense, I'd quit right now while I'm ahead. Poor baby, did that mean old earthquake do this to you? You may be a little cracked, but you're still holding it together, just like me. Hey now, I got enough filth in here without you monsters. Now get! Good Lord, is the dome cracked too? Hope it doesn't rain before I get it fixed. The Harrowing Part 1, Resurrection. Yes, yes, my precious ones, don't delay. Remember that I am waiting for my six. New York City, 12th and Bleecker. Ron Ringwood's skill brings all kinds to his shop. All kinds. I want the dragon's head right between my shoulder blades. Ow! You alright, man? You want to take a break or something? Hold on. No, it was nothing. Just a little fly bite. That's it? You done? How's it look? Perfect. You asshole, an egg? Come back here. Where the hell you think you're going? Vroom. Guess I'll find out when I get there. One. Do you renounce Satan? You are one thick-headed son of a bitch, you know that? Ohio State Penitentiary. Vera Wyshak dies tonight. And all his works? I'm telling you, Padre, save your breath. I'm not afraid of dying, so. But Vera, won't you let me try to save your soul? Yeah, I've swallowed something. I think I'm Easy, old man. The coffee here is bad, but... Hey, father, spit it out now. What are you trying to... Missouri, just get to Joplin. Missouri? Come on, what is it you're... Joplin, must go. Go? Father! Hell, Rawl heed the call to arms. The quake that rattled the earth has reverberated throughout Leviathan's dominion. And souls are stirring in both worlds. Going my way, father? Sister? Vroom. Two. There are worse ways to eke out a living in St. Louis. But for Winston Gage, before they... Today he swears he'll quit. An oath he made last week and the week before. Well, hello there, little one. How'd you get in here alive? Better get lost before they see ya. Hold on there. Don't eat that. You don't know where it's been. Too late. You are hungry. Now go on. Run for your life. When you have money, the world is at your feet, provided you know how to take the next step. Graceland is such a bore. Lavinia, can't we venture off the beaten path? And Lucinda, if you're gonna complain, we might as well turn back around and go to England. Excuse me. We might as well turn back around and go to England. Would you listen to yourself? You'd become an old hag. Shut up, sissy. I am not old. I'm just 30 seconds older than you are. Now, if you want to be spontaneous, fine. Let's simply close our eyes, point to a spot on the map, and that's where... It's just a fly, silly. I don't want it on my lunch. I'll get it. Move. Whap! Bullseye! You smashed it right on our map. Now we'll have to buy another one. Wait, where did it land? Three. Well, in St. Louis. You again? I thought I told you to beat it. Meow. Come here, you cute little runt. Ouch, no reason to scratch. I'm just trying to help. Meow. Ah, oh, you sure are a tiny little thing, aren't you? I'm not keeping you, so don't get any bright ideas. Hey, what you got? Well, zing. Zink. Well, Zink, how did you get all the way from Joplin to St. Louis? Something tells me I gotta take you home. Somebody's probably looking for you. Four. Hell. He is silent for the moment, but he will speak when the bloodthirsty audience is in the palm of his hand. He will not have to wait long. Chicago. The fly. A fly. Help me. Boo! Projection! Fix it, moron! Running a projector is a mindless task for a brilliant man. Projection! Boo! Fix it, moron! So ex-professor Dublin Morse relieves the tedium with a dose of LSD. It's so huge it's... Huh? Oh, help me. Yes! Bug on the lens! Focus! Help me, Dublin, help me! It's okay here. You're all right now. Hope you didn't get fried in there. Thanks, Dublin. It was getting pretty hot. You saved my life, now I'd like to save yours. Do yourself a favor. Go to Joplin, Missouri. Have an egg. Five. There it is. Not bad for a day's work, if I do say so myself. A snag high above Wichita, Kansas. Bzzz. Come on, Marty. You'll be fine once you reach the top. Grit your teeth. Don't look down. If you fall off a horse, you gotta get right back on. This ain't no horse, but... You gotta prove it to yourself just the same. Six. Guess I won't have to set extra places at the dinner table after all. Well, fool's born every minute. Hell. We've got ourselves a little problem, comrades. Now, who wants to have some fun? You are so close, my children. I can feel your hearts beating. Feel your warmth as you look into each other's eyes. Yes, you need the warm touch. Go on. Good morning. Hello. Hi. Pleasure. Welcome. I'm Bunny, your guide. That's it. Now come closer. It's a pleasure to see so many of you here this early. Phew, I haven't conducted a tour for many years, and I'm a little flustered. We had a tremor yesterday. Yes, but I'll try to remember my history. The museum was built around an ancient egg-shaped monument, which you'll see once we're inside. It has been in my family for generations, preserved and protected as part of our agreement with the Indians who... Time passes and introductions are made. Lavinia, let's leave. What are we doing in this rat hole? Watch your step as you enter. Earthquake! The monument is splitting. No! The old lady, is she? No wonder. It was predicted. Shit, looky here. Come on, lady, talk to me. Hey, man, your cat. Zink, come back here. She's gone down. Zink, I've got to go after. Are you crazy? Don't go down there. Yeah, let's go. Don't leave us here alone. Hold on, I'll make a torch. I'm going too. Here's a lantern if you want to. It's all right, I won't leave you. No, go on without me. Get! While... Silence! Let's see. Meet the lucky six that Leviathan has chosen to take care of this little disturbance. Show them your envy. Let sadism guide you. Bring them back for public tortures. Pierce some flesh for us. And as below, so above. I tell you, nobody's been down here in centuries time. Sissy, I'm not sure we should be going into a dark cave with all these men. Quiet, Lavinia. Could you hold the lantern a bit higher? Looks like a long way down. Not much traffic through here lately. This crack looks new. That lady bunny said there'd been that other tremor yesterday. I suspect the reason we're all here is behind that rock. So what are you waiting for? Ugh, this is solid granite. We shouldn't be able to move this. Ugh, feels like something's helping. Told you I was stronger than I looked. Phew, what's that smell? Holy sh! Anybody gets squeamish, best stay out of here. Children, you're so near. How about a little light on this? Man, oh man, looks like these folks were buried alive. Weird. How bizarre. Oh wow, it's from the other story. Six shall release if the puzzle is solved. Doesn't look like this group was too successful. This gives me the creep something evil happened here. I can feel it. My God, must remain calm for Sissy or she'll scream. I'm gonna scream. No, I won't. It might cause a cave-in. Now I recognize the smell. It's death. Someone's translated the Latin into rhyming couplets of Sanskrit. I'll bet that showed them how to align the phrases to solve the puzzle. It looks like these arrows were carved to line up with each other. You're right. They did solve it. So what went wrong? What went wrong? What do you suppose this was used for? It looks like a lantern of sorts, but not the oil type. There's no place for a wick. This poor sucker had his hands cut off. And there are human bones in here. This is where the odor is coming from. Oh God, they use body parts as fuel. That shows how desperate they were to solve the puzzle. Now if we work together, maybe we can succeed where they failed. What makes you the expert? Maybe they did solve the puzzle and whatever they released severed their hands and feet. If you don't be quiet, I'll sever your friggin' head. Okay, Dublin, tell us what to do. When the two arrows touch you, each must speak the Latin phrase that's directly in front of you. I can't read that. Just sound it out as best as you can. Get ready. Any second now. You're so close. Do not fail me now. Go. Sic frater Chris dulce. Denique diet I can't. Credo fatum nas lab I logos. I don't know. Tam is Anis. Yeah, they're all speaking the language. Learn. Okay, we got it. Footprints, too, but they're backwards. Turn around, big guy, and they'll fit. Damn, this tingles, but it's kind of nice. Yes, she feels me. All right, I'm plugged into something. Try it. Feels good. Stay close, Zink. We don't know what we're doing. Why do you get to stand on my feet? Because I'm older. This handprint just got smaller to fit my hand. Mine got bigger. Listen to me. Who's to say that we're not falling into the same trap that killed these guys? I say we get out of here now. You think it's coincidence that we all just turned up here? We've been chosen for something. Here goes nothing. My mother always said that peer pressure would be the death of me. The whole room is turning. We're spinning like a top. I think I'm gonna vomit. Don't. It will spray back in our faces. Oh, excuse me. It's like, ah, I recognize this touch. Okay, the whole room is turning. We're spinning like a top. And he says, I think I'm gonna vomit. Don't. It will spray back in our faces. Roosh! Freedom at last! They stand in awe, each seeing a different aspect of the goddess. To all of you who answered my summons and broke my bonds, I welcome you to a time of awakenings. Listen to me closely, for we haven't much time. I am called Morte Mame, and you are my children. Open your hearts and steep in my power. Feel my presence and know me. I have been trapped here for thousands of years. From you I can sense how disrupted the world has become. All of you are so disillusioned with your lives. You've been struggling, my children, without real purpose or guidance. All of that is about to change. Holy shit, I can hear her voice, but her lips aren't moving. Lavinia, she looks like our grandmother. Their grandmother? She sure does. Take good care of herself. Well, she sure does take good care of herself. Okay. There is much to tell you, but when you solve the puzzle and release me, you also summon six of my enemies, the Cenobites, evil creatures from hell that serve the Lord of Darkness and Order, Leviathan. I'm afraid they're waiting up above. Be wary. My dark brother Leviathan's schemings can be fatal. He used that lantern you found to trick my former harrowers into their own destruction. But all that is behind us now. Arm yourselves. Trust your instincts, and these tools will be self-instructive. Weapons charged with my life force. Meow? Wowza, you felt that too, huh, Zink? These things seems like they're coming alive. Know this, my children. Cenobites cannot be killed, and the only way to destroy them is through dismemberment. What does dismemberment mean? If you don't know, then you shouldn't have the largest weapon. I'm a pacifist. Why am I here? I don't understand any of this. What are we supposed to do with this, lasso the Cenobites? We'll be doing nothing of the sort. We're on holiday. Would one of you like our rope? I'm feeling dizzy. What's happening to me? Am I the only one that knows what Cenobites are? We're about to go up against demons from hell. Your holiday is over, Double Mint Twins. Wake up. Something's happened to me. I'm seeing things. I'm in a museum, but it's different. All blue with a door. Bunny's there hanging by hooks. And an ugly thing is reaching for me. No! Ah, the innocence of a little kitten is so rich. Markova, don't bother with their pet. I can feel them. They're close. What could possibly demand six of us at once? I am so looking forward to this. It's Zink. I'm seeing through her eyes. I'm feeling what she feels. Let it happen. Trust your instincts. I've given each of you gifts. Use them. Gage, he's fading, disappearing. Just enough time to make a lovely bracelet from your intestines. Hey, where'd he go? And where'd you come from? Better make it an ankle bracelet. Kia, Markova! Thunk, chuck, thrump, scritch, scritch. Let them go, Terpus. They know their way home. Scritch. Hang in there. We're on our way. Speak for yourself. Hurry! Chi-ching, ching. What happens if they take my weapon? Never mind. You fools, I've lost my arms and the fight has barely begun. We'll get them back, Markova, or someone else's. Ugh. Dear God, deliver me from this pain. An arm for an arm, I say. Shall we just make a wish and pull? Trust and you'll discover. Where did he go? Find him. Slitch. Like cutting through butter, this knife is so sharp. My turn. Oh, baby, yes, come on, one for the crotch. Ask and you shall receive. Say goodbye to your manhood. This is no time for a wiener roast. Somebody catch my boomerang. I'm going in. Goddess lady, I need you now. I've sharpened your blood, Vera. Use it well. Yeah, what is this poison? Release her chains. Her blood burns. Ching, ching. Well now, I wonder what else of mine you can't stomach. Patook. Zzz. Ah! Dublin, give her a hand. I'm going after Ron. Lordy, I'm going to have to be careful who I spit on. Here, Vera, it's safer near the stairs. Marty, I thought you weren't a fighter. I'm not, but in certain situations, I've been known to make exceptions. I've heard of fast healers, but since when could I do this? Test your new ability, Ron Ringwood, and be fearless in the knowledge. Not bad. The only thing is I'm going to miss having scabs to pick at. Woof. They're doing fine without us, see? Now, as soon as it's clear, we'll make a run for it. What's that smell? How about the three of us take them on? Oh my god, what is it? Where'd he come from? Name's Ovid. Morte Mame created me to watch out for you two. Poofed. Oats. She's made me miasmic. It's something that's so disorderly and human that Cenobites find it disorienting. You are not as frail as you think, my twins. Look within your mirrored image and accept my gift of additional reflections. They've multiplied. Which are the real ones? Ugh, what stinks? What a gas! I can't see. So dizzy. What's... Marty Sevenbirds, descendant of Little Moon, I bring lightning to your hands. Use your new power. Look, they can't move. Come on, everybody. I don't know what I did, but I don't think it's gonna last. I'll get the heads. I'm a leg man myself. Anybody got chewing gum? I'm running out of spit. You're not leaving the party without your other half. You like worms? You can chop them up real small and they still keep wriggling. Where are they going to anyway? Bunny, let go of her. No, you don't, you old mare hag. Don't think your world's safe from us. You can't hide from Morte Mame. Morte, okay, they're saying that. How can this have happened to my fighters? The fools, don't they realize what it means to declare war on hell? I doubt their souls are prepared for the consequences. Sis, you amaze me. Came quite naturally to us, didn't it? Vera, you all right? I'll live, but I didn't get them healing powers that Ron did. Looks like Morte Mame gave each of us a different way of fighting her enemies. Zink's acting like nothing happened. Any other tricks up your sleeve? We should get you to a hospital, so they could take me up and ship me back to prison? No way. And leave my new family? I do feel rather like we've bonded in some primitive fashion. I don't believe in fighting, but what we did seems right somehow. Yeah, like we were born to do it. Wrong, I was scared shitless, but at least we all came out alive. Not necessarily. The horse bitch took Bunny back to hell with her, and I don't know about any of you, but I'm going after them. Okay. So the next one's got art by Mike Mignola, who's actually a really well-known comics artist, of course. He needs no... Oh, he also did the plot, so yeah. Alright, so that's all we're going to read right now. I know, but I'm getting kind of tired, guys, and it is late. So we're going to go ahead and stop this one, and basically we'll catch up with you tomorrow when we do the next part and maybe the next volume as well. And this chair, yeah, it makes a lot of noises. At any rate, guys, this is the Grimlord, and I'm out for Grimm's Spooky Comics Corner with Hellraiser.